In this podcast, we share the audio of an interview with Sam Pardue, who runs Indo in Portland. He also came up with a clean practice, a methodology for helping reduce COVID transmissions at his work. So we had him at our December 2020 happy hour. There's also a video available. If you go to the leanportland.com website, you can check out the full video. You can see Sam and also as he navigates through the website, and you can also watch the video where they received a give award for this year. So if you haven't checked out the Clean Practice, you can check that out at cleanpractice.org. And hope you enjoy the interview and happy holidays.
Here's the introduction of Indo, which is actually from an awards ceremony a couple of weeks ago from the Oregon Entrepreneurs Network. Indo was a recipient of one of their awards. They have awards in four categories. You can't see my mug here. Disrupt, create, overcome, and give. So Indo was one of the recipients of the Give Award, and I thought I'd just share this video with you today.
I'm Sam Pardue. I'm the CEO and founder of Indo. We manufacture window inserts that just press inside your window frames without a mounting bracket, and they block 100% of the cold drafts, up to 70% of the noise, and you'll reduce your energy bills by up to 20%. So Indo is a mass custom manufacturing business. Every single window insert we make is unique size and shape. But as a manufacturing company, we didn't really have an option of having our team disperse and work remotely. So we had been tracking the spread of COVID-19 around the world before it arrived in the United States. Once community transmission was announced on February 28th, I went home that weekend and I worked on the Indo COVID-19 response plan. And Monday morning, March 2nd, I sat in front of my whole organization and I told them about a series of measures we were going to take to try and keep our team safe. Clean Practice was created when we decided we needed to share the techniques we had developed with other organizations because we were getting requests from other people to get copies of our COVID-19 response plan. Clean Practice uses techniques from lean manufacturing, but instead of identifying and eliminating inefficiencies, you mobilize your team to identify and eliminate COVID-19 transmission vectors. The more you get your team involved in finding and identifying and resolving the problems, the better the outcomes are going to be for your team's safety. Plus, you're going to have a big boost to team morale, and that's going to allow you to achieve your mission. The templates have been downloaded over 500 times by organizations all over the world, and it makes us feel really good knowing that people out there are safer and organizations have better team morale because we shared what we had with our community. Thank you. I'm so grateful that you guys are recognizing what Clean Practice is doing, and we hope this helps get the word out that there's ways that you can keep your organization safe and your team's morale high. So everybody, wear your masks.
Congratulations, Sam, on the award.
I moved out to Portland about 23 years ago to work for Intel Corporation after getting my MBA at Carnegie Mellon. And because I got an MBA at Carnegie Mellon, I thought I knew everything. But at Intel, I found myself a little bit frustrated after a few years. I was working in marketing. I was not a manufacturing person, even though I worked at a giant manufacturing company. But I found that I was not learning as much as I wanted to. And I was learning how to run the flag up the management flagpole to see which way management winds are blowing and very efficiently manage that process. But I was not getting feedback from the world on whether the decisions I was making were good or bad. So after a few years, I stepped out and went out on my own. And the first company I started was very much a surprise, but it's a special effects lens manufacturing business called Lens Baby. And it sells its camera lenses all over the world, it was a super fun job to start. But I knew nothing about manufacturing, and we were totally a sales and marketing and product innovation driven company. It had super fat gross margins, and we never learned about manufacturing because of that. And I really regret that. I wish I'd met you guys or found out about Lean much earlier, because it could have been a much stronger company if we had incorporated Lean principles into what we did. But we persisted, and it's been a very successful company over the years in its own way as a niche player. And about 10 years ago, I stepped down as the CEO of LensBaby to start up Indo. And again, hubris struck. I thought it was such a simple product. An Indo window inserts just a sheet of acrylic glazing edged with our patented compression tube that goes all the way around the edge. But we quickly discovered that it was a really complex business model because every single window frame is out of square, pretty much, or 95% of them are significantly out of square. And our product needs to fit very precisely every time, or else we'll have all kinds of problems and very expensive failure rates. So the product is simple. The business model was not. We developed a laser measuring system that had some built-in Pythagorean theorem and fuzzy logic to automatically detect measurement mistakes when people were making them, either our dealers or our customers. And so we ended up building this business that was very process-driven and very systematic, and started incorporating lean into what we did because we had to try and get more and more efficient at this. Whole process of delivering large trapezoids and shipping them across the country and having them fit precisely with an incredibly high success rate. We've actually achieved about a 99.8% measurement success rate, even though end-user homeowners are now laser measuring their window frames. And we mail out, we have like probably 400 laser measure kits all over the United States at this very moment with different households, and they're going to measure their own windows, and they're going to input the data into our system, and we're going to manufacture the inserts based on that. And we've done about 100,000 inserts now, and only about 200 of them have ever failed to fit due to measurement error. Probably an order of magnitude better than the replacement window industry, at least in terms of success rate, but we kind of were driven down this path by this ridiculous requirement for precision fit. And, you know, when I think about, you know, kind of quality, it's really building the quality really early in the value chain, trying to get it in there with a great set of dimensions, no matter who's taking those measurements and making sure that that data is good before we take the next step in the whole process. So we've developed a lot of, you know, expertise around error trapping and making sure that, you know, people are doing things the right way. But it's been a giant pain. It's really, it's made it much harder to create an extremely scalable enterprise because of this complexity. And I mention all this because it's context, you know, where did clean practice come from, right? And I'm about to get to that. So when COVID-19 happens, or, you know, was looming, as I mentioned, you know, I started tracking it before it arrived on our shores. I happened to have a Google search, you know, for like a flu. I've always known that it would be a really massive thing if we ever had an epidemic. And so I was just kind of keeping my eye open for it. And when this thing started circulating in China, I became really alarmed. I started reading up on it. And I was sure that it was going to spread very rapidly in the United States based on everything about it. It was like there was no way it's not going to spread rapidly in the United States. But community spread was announced here in the Hillsborough area, the Portland metro area. It was the third city of the United States. It was one of the very first places COVID started circulating in the United States. And so I was super alarmed when I found that out. And so that we were told that that was happening, I think on like the 27th or Thursday. And on Friday, I'm like, oh my God, I got to do something. And so I stayed home all weekend working on our plan, right? And so I announced the plan on Monday to the whole company. And but what was really interesting is it was just a plan. And what was really fantastic is the way the team got involved in helping us execute. It was not a top-down mandate as much as it was like, you know, let's divide up our space into zones and let's try and figure out where the risk factors are. Because like what we know about this virus so far is like, you know, it was all about surfaces. And so we got to make sure it gets cleaned really well. And we have to make sure people feel confident that that's happening so that they're not scared. I mean, we had at least that insight early on. So what was really amazing was over the next 2 weeks was seeing how aggressively the team got involved in trying to implement this plan. And we didn't call it clean practice at that point. It was just the Indo COVID-19 response plan. And so what we did is I sat down and I was really amazed after a couple of weeks. I was like, wow, people are really doing a great job at this. This is really impressive. And I was talking to my production manager. I was like, you know, where do those dots come from that are all over the factory? Because that was not my idea. There's these little colored dots that got put up. All the cleaning spots that needed to be cleaned got marked with a colored dot. So he said it was basically, that's a lean technique. That's visual management. And so what we then discovered is, you know, our COVID-19 response was drawing on all of our business skills that we had developed in becoming a mass custom manufacturing business, primarily lean. And so I said, well, it's COVID-19 and it's lean, so it's clean. It's clean practice that we came up with a name right there and decided that because we were getting these inquiries from people for our COVID-19 response plan, we'd create a website and we'd share clean practice with them. So I'm now going to share my screen and share the website with you. And Maria, you can kind of give me a nudge if you think I'm like going on too long, because I know sometimes that happens. But this website is really kind of trying to share a free template form, what we've learned and developed at Indo. And it's really all about lean, right? And as I mentioned in the video, it's trying to use these techniques, but not hunt for inefficiencies or process flaws or quality issues. It's about where is the COVID-19 happening? And how can we then, you know, root source, you know, identify the problems and eliminate them? And so that's really what it is. And so the website here has these principles of clean practice, which I'll actually kind of review for you really quickly. And I think you'll find them really familiar, which is cool. But the 10 principles of clean practice are that you should create a plan. Everybody should have a plan that they share with their team. And it, you know, and the plan should be as inclusive as possible. And we have a link, you know, basically we have a template plan that people can download, you know, replace, you know, company name in brackets with your company or your organization's name. And then you'll at least have a plan. Then you can modify it and make it your own and with whatever the particular circumstances that are, or practices that you have, at least it has something right out of the bat that has some valuable information and a structure so you can get going quickly. But the other huge element, I think, around COVID-19 is building trust. And if your team trusts you that this is important, they'll listen. If they trust each other, they'll operate without fear. If they trust each other, then they're going to be more inclined to follow really safe practices in the workplace because, you know, there really is that team buy-in. And so really building trust is about open communication that begins with the presentation of the plan, which really should be done by the senior-most people in the organization or the division if it's a super big organization. It's like, you know, those people should be involved all the way through. And again, that's like straight out of lean. It's like, you know, you're going to succeed with your lean implementation if you have a buy-in at every level of the organization. Well, how do you get that buy-in? So through participation is what Clean Practice recommends. And so we try to provide some tools for getting everybody involved. And among the approaches we recommend is that you break up the space into smaller spaces that are organized around the people that are working and sharing that space. And you appoint a team, you know, maybe you have a zone captain. We recommend zone captains, and they may not be the senior most person, but the zone captain is somebody who cares a lot about COVID-19 safety. And we know that within organizations, there's a bell curve of concern about, you know, COVID-19. There's some people that just don't give a rip and they don't think they're going to get sick. And they're like, whatever, it's a hoax. And then there's people that are very scared about it. And maybe they're the ones who are at high risk category because they may have some sort of compromised immune system or asthma or whatever, or they're overweight or, you know, they have a very large body mass index. So, those people that are high risk may be the most motivated to be your zone captain, but you get people more involved by breaking up the space, by having zone captains, by having as many people as possible in that zone participate in identifying the issues. We call it a clean Gemba walk, right? That you walk through the space, that you observe the space, and you know, you're looking for transmission vectors. And so it's all about surfaces, which is where we started in COVID-19. It's all about, but now it's also about the human-to-human direct transmission through spitting. And so there's the social distancing component and the mask wearing component. And the third component is human-to-air to human transmission through aerosolized viral particles. And so now you've got to be concerned about all three of these things as you do your Gemba walk, and you're thinking about what are those issues in my space, and documenting them, right? And creating a remediation approach for all those vectors. With surfaces, it's pretty straightforward. It's cleaning, but it also might be removing the transmission vector altogether. In the video that we just watched, there were a couple examples of places where we removed door handles or doorknobs, and we put a hook so you can open the door with your arm, where we actually put a total adapter onto the door handle so you can open that door now with your forearm instead of touching it with your hands, which radically reduces the amount of potential viral transmission that might happen. So that all came out of our clean Gemba walks and our identification of vectors and our collaborative approach to trying to identify ways to reduce those transmission vectors. Implementing visual olfactory was super fun. We gave each zone a different color, and we gave different color stickers to each zone. And so they would put stickers on every surface that got touched by more than one hand in a 72-hour period, which is based on the amount of time we thought the virus might persist on that surface. And that creates a cleaning schedule. You know, it creates a much more replicable cleaning system so that you don't miss spots. And the other thing, though, that's super important about visual olfactory in this case is that it gives everybody great confidence that all of those surfaces are in fact getting cleaned really regularly. It also gives people reminders to not touch those things with their hands so they can possibly help it. If you can open the door with your elbow, then do that. If you can operate the light switch with your elbow, do that, right? So it's kind of a way to reinforce the training. But again, that came out of our team. You know, that was not me coming up with it, and it wasn't a lean consultant coming up with it. It was the perfect kind of lean implementation where the team was coming up with the solutions. We did, you know, try to do and have done PDCA, where, you know, we, for instance, would create a cleaning schedule, and then you would track it and you would post it visually so that people could see. But then, you know, reviewing and assessing has also been a super important part of it, because the original clean practice has been updated multiple times based on our improved understanding of the virus and how it spreads and what the risks are. So we've had to go through and adjust our practices to, you know, to include the social distancing, and then we've had to go through again to rethink how we can make sure that there's plenty of airflow and air turnover, and that there's no stagnant air areas that could be more dangerous because there's a buildup of virus in those areas. So how we use the space has changed, how we turn over the air has changed, all that through kind of a Kaizen process of continuous improvement and re-examining things that we thought were put to bed and done with. Expanding trust, I think, is another really important part. And I think that really comes through your time off policy and how you treat people when they're sick and how you encourage them to react and train them to react when there are concerns. And that also has expanded, because now it's not just when you're feeling sick, it's when you know, what do you do when someone that you know has been exposed? What do you do when someone you know is actually been diagnosed, right? And you're not feeling sick yet. But having your team voluntarily tell you when their spouse has been exposed is incredibly important. Having your team share with you when they're sick is incredibly important to trying to maintain a safe workspace. And so I think that comes through kind of how you communicate, how you structure your time off, and how you communicate that to people. But then you also need to trust them to come to work when they're feeling healthy and not exploit the system. So that's been a big part of it as well. And a couple things that have happened at Indo recently have been very gratifying. Even when we've not necessarily had all the systems in place, if you have trust in place, then people communicate openly, and that allows you to come up with the solution right on the spot. So we didn't have a policy in place for what do you do when your husband has had lunch with someone who's been diagnosed with COVID-19, and there's a COVID outbreak going on at your husband's workplace. But because the person trusted us, they shared with us that this was happening, and we were able to quickly adjust their work responsibilities so they no longer had to come into the workplace, or we radically reduced the amount of workplace time, and then we issued them an N95 mask so that they would have greater safety at work. And then we actually issued them some masks so they could take it home as well. So trust was the genesis of a good response, even though we didn't already have something in place. And then finally, one of our colleagues was diagnosed with COVID-19. It was really kind of ironic because the day I filmed that video for OEN to get this really wonderful award, that was the day that I found out one of my colleagues was diagnosed with COVID-19. Fortunately, this colleague was working in Nevada, so there was no risk to other teammates. But the fact that she was really open about it was really important for reinforcing COVID-19 vigilance on the part of everybody else. She sent out an all-person email announcing her sickness, announcing how really terrible it was, and urging us all to wear masks and do social distancing and wash our hands and be really careful, not only at work, but at home. And this Monday, on the day after everybody's coming back from Thanksgiving break, and we know that a huge percentage of our employees are going to their families to have Thanksgiving, because they told us, which is great. Again, trust allowed that open communication. But one of the new hires volunteered, so I went in to give a talk and to, have a conversation with everybody to find out, well, how concerned are you about getting sick? Are you guys worried about it? Or how concerned are you about your family members or your friends getting sick? How worried would you be, or how would you feel, if you got sick and passed it on to them? We kind of had a conversation and really tried to engage the team in get them thinking about the answers to those questions, and then to get them feeling empowered. Hey, did you see somebody just jumped onto the page? That's really cool. They might be downloading this stuff right now. We've had the people downloading the files keeps growing. It's just really a cool way for people to learn about Clean. But one of the new hires told us that they had been sick with COVID-19 for a month, and they said it was the worst experience of their entire life. And it really helped us share a sense of urgency and restore a sense of urgency with the team about getting really being vigilant, both at work, but also at home. That was the message we really tried to communicate. It's like, we can impose certain conditions here at work and we can get you involved in those, but really a huge amount of the safety in the workplace is what everybody does when they walk out of the door. And really tried to get people thinking about extending the practices that they were learning at work and taking them home, and maybe even trying to convince the people that they live with to use them as well. And that's really the growth vector, which is the final part, is, organizations can be places where people learn in the midst of all the chaos of false information and people diminishing the severity of this epidemic. The organizations where people work is a place where people can learn. It's where they have trusting relationships with colleagues. And if you can build that trust and then use that trust to really educate people, it's a way to try and disseminate better behavior throughout our communities and our country. So Clean Practice, I think, has been super successful for Endo so far, knock on wood. We've had our scares and we've had our challenges maintaining vigilance and maintaining engagement and keeping up with the changing dynamics that are out there. So the principles of Clean Practice are enumerated, and we have links to various things. For instance, the template plan is available right here, and it basically is a way to try and get people jump-started on having a document that they can share with people that communicates valuable information and sets goals for people to pursue. So, you know, including information about symptoms and the order that symptoms come on, right? People need to know that, and they need to, you know, information on when to seek medication, when to stay home, what to do at home, and who's at highest risk and things like that. So it's trying to get people really spun up on and be well educated about the virus and, you know, what we're doing in the organization, and trying to help them also have good practices at home. So that's essentially, you know, what Clean Practice is all about. I think one of the really cool things about it, though, is that the organizations that have been downloading and using the templates are not often manufacturing organizations. Manufacturing organizations maybe don't have as much of a perceived need for a structure, because manufacturing organizations often have safety committees, and pretty much everywhere in the country, they've remained in operation through the epidemic. So they've kind of had to get something in place. Unfortunately, I think a lot of times it's been kind of a top-down mandate, what they do. But so what we found is a lot of the organizations have been really interested in Clean Practice have been non-manufacturing organizations, so software companies, or nonprofit organizations, or a yoga clinic in Ireland. You know, it's like, it's a wide variety of organizations that are reaching out because they need help, because they don't know how to wrestle with something like this. They don't have lean manufacturing principles embedded in their organization, which then help them to kind of figure out a response approach. And so it's been really gratifying to introduce lean to a lot of organizations that have never used lean. And I think that's one of the coolest things about Clean Practice. Here, I want to show you. Maria is a member of Team Clean.
Oh,
she's been helping us from the very beginning. And thank you, Maria. And Brian has too. So we've got some really cool lean practitioners. And with that, yeah, let's open up for questions.
Anyone have questions for Sam about Clean Practice?
Yeah, Indo? I do.
Yeah, go for it, Adam.
I do. So, yeah, love it. You know, I applaud you. I think it's fantastic. What's been the issue, if any, with the HIPAA type rules, right? Because there's all about the privacy of the person, but you want them to share because we need to know. So, you know, what's been the challenges around that?
We haven't outed anybody. They voluntarily shared their information, and that actually is fine. You know, people can let each other know that they're sick, and that's been what's been really cool. But you're not going to get that unless you've got a lot of trust in already going. And so, like, that's why I think, like, trust is the missing ingredient for our entire country's response on COVID-19. We're in an awful epidemic of, you know, collapse of social trust. And that allows disinformation to pour in, and like all this stupid controversy about whether you should wear a mask or not. It's like, it makes me shriek and it makes me sad. And, but I think, and that's why I think, like, you know, really trying to do those things that will build trust with your team is really, really important, because when they will share with you, it's about that morale thing. And we really try to emphasize, you know, Clean Practice is about having, you know, it's your ambitious goal is zero transmissions inside the workplace, and 100% participation with the goal of having a significant improvement in company morale. And I can just tell you from Indo's, our experience, and unfortunately we don't have like case studies and stuff like that that would broaden it beyond Indo, but I know that our achievement of our core mission has been enhanced because we had a really aggressive and proactive response to COVID-19. It made the team feel great about working for the company. It made people really mobilized to do a better job at their core function. So it helped us achieve our mission. So it was not just about diminishing fear, which I think is a hugely important thing also. If people are operating with fear, literally their brains are functioning at a lower state. It's all down here in the reptile mind. It's like fight or flight. People are not going to be operating at peak performance when they're afraid. So if you can use Clean Practice to build trust, and if you can use these principles to reduce fear, then you're automatically going to have a huge improvement in mission. But then if you can actually, you know, develop your company culture through it by creating a more participatory environment where people feel heard and you can deepen trust, then you actually can make this crisis into an opportunity.
This is May. Mm-hmm. Sam, how many employees are there in your facility and how many square feet are we talking about? And additional question is, how did you deal with vendors, like folks that were delivering raw material or supplies? And how did you extend your internal policies or rules to them?
Well, I'll start at the beginning. Well, I'll start in the middle. We have a 20,000 square foot facility. We have 45 people. Of those, around 20 are actually in the production side of the operation. So fortunately, because of the way our factory is laid out, it's been pretty easy for us to achieve really good social distancing. And very early, we had all the non-production people vacate the premises, and work remotely, which, is really good practice, and it reduces the transmission vectors into the workspace. And we're never going to go back to the way it was before, I can tell you that. People love working remote. Our vendors are basically, we're just doing social distancing with them, and the way we're set up, they're really not penetrating our space very much, and they're all wearing masks. So I think the handoffs are pretty smooth. We have vendors that just, they're delivering pallets of stuff and dropping it off, and we're forking it off, and so there's not a huge amount of interaction that way or risk for us. So we haven't had to do much innovation there.
Okay, great. Thank you.
May, have you had that particular thing be a significant issue with one of the organizations you work with? And like, how have you guys handled that?
I'm not in a situation, in a manufacturing situation or environment right now. And so I'm just kind of thinking of all the, if I were kind of going back to, when I was on a manufacturing floor and but I also think that this, what you've talked about and the labeling, the procedures are all very much of what we used to deal with. So it was not, it wasn't difficult to say, okay, so instead of doing it this way, you do it this way. And the labels are here, or the posters are here. And so there is a lot of, there was already a pattern of following arrows and signage and all that kind of thing.
Right. Now, it's totally interesting. Like, different organizations will have different kind of cultures and patterns that you can build on to do your response. And I think that's just kind of, that's a great principle to have.
Yeah, and if I had to say anything, I think I really commend you on the trust part. I think that on any production floor or in any environment, that is the hardest to come by, and you really have to build on what you've been doing, and it's your history with all of those folks that come into play. It doesn't just start from like now. I mean, it really speaks to your how you've been dealing with them and how you've been,
Well, it's also one of our big challenges because we have a very seasonal business. That's one of the other things that makes Indo so challenging as a business model. Is we have a 3x change from trough production in the summertime to peak production in the winter. And so in the fall, like this fall, just when risk is ramping up, we're bringing in huge numbers of new workers, right? Well, not huge, we're small, but we're substantially increasing our team. And we don't have the trust relationship with those people yet, right? And so that core team that has a lot of trust is suddenly diluted. And that's what we're struggling with right now. It's like, I kind of sent an alarmed email to Maria. I was like, man, I'm really worried about Monday morning. I got to go in there and I got to try and because we're worried about this, this vigilance issue with all these new people because they don't have a relationship with each other. And so early on, we really leveraged and spoke about our response to COVID-19 is really about the most vulnerable among us. And that in our group of people, we had at least several people that were in the high risk category that if they got sick, they could die. And we needed to really, we really needed to protect each other. So even if you're not feeling really at risk, it's really about everybody else in this organization. It's about your parents and it's about your friends, right? So we've really tried to expand that kind of, you know, solution set. Another thing we did is we gave every team member a COVID-19 care package, right? So we, all these new people were coming in and we scrounged up enough N95 masks that we could share a few masks for everybody to take home, right? And we had like some lozenges and, you know, like stuff in there that was like, you know, let's keep you healthy kind of stuff. But it was a way for us to say, you know, we care about you and we're really concerned about this. And we want you to be safe, not only here, but at home, because that's like, that's half of safety at the workplace is how people behave at home. And so these were efforts on our part to really try and build trust and to build that relationship and that bond by giving a gift, right? And so that was something that we tried to do as well very recently in response to this this trust issue and that we're still working on.
That kind of raises an issue that I was wondering about. I've certainly seen organizations where we try to build trust and we try to build commitment and stuff like that. And of course, individuals being individuals, some folks just can't or won't get on board. Have you had to deal with people who were just stubborn, and how did you handle that?
Well, we did have one employee leave our organization. I think it would have happened anyway because she got into an electrical apprentice job with a very substantial bump and a much better career. But she was an anti-masker. And that was one person who I think did transition out. I did have an encounter with her where, you know, I knew she had gotten a lot of feedback on wearing masks, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And like, she wasn't wearing a mask. And I was more top down in that moment than I probably should have been. You know, it was not my perfect leadership moment, but, you know, so we did have that, but I think we've gotten people on board. And like I asked, I had a meeting, with our Ministry of Fun today, and one of the members of the Ministry of Fun works out on the production floor, and I asked her how things had been going and whether we had been able to shift the dynamic through these interventions that we had made. And she gave really positive feedback. I take it with a grain of salt because, you know, it is, you know, feedback to the CEO, but she seemed genuinely enthusiastic about the shift. And she's one of our core team members that have been there longer. So that felt good. That felt like, you know, and it wasn't that there was, resistance, like, ah, screw you, I'm not going to wear the mask. It was more about apathy and lack of engagement. And, you know, and so, and that starts to degrade that trust, you know, and then you like team member trust.
Yeah. It seems like your onboarding materials probably need to account for COVID as much as for the job-related skills and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think having training onboarding, like, and making this, like, a part of every new team member, yes. We have, but I wouldn't say we're doing that exceptionally well. You know, we're just like every other organization, and we're, like, super bandwidth constrained, and even though we're, you know, try to lead the charge on clean practice, we're human too, you know, and we're bandwidth constrained and we're not executing at the level that I would love across every part of this. And the onboarding process is probably something we could be doing better. Fortunately, my production manager is all on board. You know, Josh has been very supportive, and, you know, personally engaged and personally concerned. So that has been really good.
Let's go for one more question in this group thing, and then I have a small thing to share, and then we'll kind of break out into smaller discussions. Anybody else have another question for Sam?
Well, all of you have worked with clients, and you might check in with them and ask them what their COVID-19 challenges are today. Because whatever they put in place in the past probably needs to do a little Kaizen love, because the understanding of the virus has changed, and then there's this huge problem with vigilance and continued engagement. And I think Maria has actually designed a webinar that's specifically, you know, to try and address that kind of issue. But I think it's something that a lot of organizations are struggling with. And I know that there's this mindset shift. People are starting, well, there's a vaccine coming. And so like, I don't have to keep trying as hard. But at Endo, we're revisiting, we're going back. Like I've met with the new production team, all the production team members. You know, I'm repeatedly going back to kind of restore, you know, kind of engagement and communicate that it's important and to spend time with them talking about this. And I think that a lot of people would be very well served. Like I told my team on Monday, I said, everything you do out in the world now is 15 times more dangerous than it was in the summer. There are so many more people that are circulating with COVID that every single thing you do is far more dangerous, even if you're doing it exactly the same way you were before. And so let's, you know, let's keep that in mind. But our response has not, you know, shifted with the increased risk that we're facing. Like people are just like, here's the risk and here's the response. It's like, it's basically flatlined. And it's like people are, and it frustrates me. It intellectually irritates me that I think is really the case.
Yeah, so the two things I want to share, and I know Sam, the other Sam on this call has heard this before from me about PDCA every day. And I think that reminds me of this because, you know, each day we see, or week or month, we learn something a little bit differently about what's happening with the COVID situation and how we need to adjust that as we go along. And, you know, even like you were talking about a vaccine coming, you know, that's just one point in time, but by the time, like, it's going to take some time for that to be delivered to our full environment. So what happens in that lag time and how do we keep making adjustments till we get to a point where the vast majority has achieved immunity?
Yeah.
So, you know, we're not done yet, even though it is taking extra effort for everybody to figure out how to navigate safely in this situation. The other thing that I wanted to bring up from the story of clean practice was early on, you had shared a picture, Sam, of some employees that lived in a house that they shared with others, a roommate situation. And there was a photo of an employee had gone home, taken a photo of those dots. So we're talking about the Avery dots that they put on the places to clean. And they had taken a picture of the remote control at their house. So they had brought those same practices that they used, that they learned at work on, these are the places that we need to get clean, and brought them into their living room for the remote control.
Involved, right? Yeah, that was like the best. I love that. And I wish there could be more of that. I wish there could be more organizations taking this really seriously and then trying to educate their team members about, you know, how to have conversations at home, because it's not just at work, you know, it's like got to go home too. And there's a lot of households where you got different people coming in and they're exposed, and that's how it spreads.
Cool. Thanks so much, Sam. Really appreciate sharing that with us.
Yeah, I'm really honored to be talking to you guys, and I'm really grateful to have the chance to talk about clean practice. And you know, by all means, please engage with the organizations you work with, and just ask them, check in with them. You know, how is it going? What are your concerns? Because we're going to go through a terrible winter. It's going to get worse out there, and it is already 15 times more dangerous than it was just a few months ago. And a lot of people are not thinking about that at all. And so they're maintaining the same level of practice when we really need to amp it up. All right. Well, thank you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
And I guess you guys are going to have some other agenda items.
Yeah. Well, I'm really just going to open up some breakout rooms here. And this time you get to choose your own breakout room. So there, I made three, but I'm open to requests for different ones if we need to add more. I just made one for a continued discussion about clean practice or whatever your COVID response, whatever you want to call your COVID response plan at your workplace, one for general networking and one for holiday plans. We learned a little bit over this last week. What are your plans for our next set of holidays coming up? Thanks again, Sam, for joining us. You're welcome to hang out in any of our breakout rooms. Appreciate you giving us a presentation today.
All right. Well, I'll go to the COVID-19 one and hang out there.
Awesome.
If anybody wants to chat further.